All right, James chapter number 1, and let's look here at verse number 13. And I want to preach to you tonight on the effects of sin. The effects of sin. James chapter 1, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted." Amen. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You know, if that last little part wasn't in there, we wouldn't need revival, would we? But we err, don't we? We get away from God. We wander away. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we kind of just get out there and start doing our own thing. And nothing affects our lives more than sin does, okay? And sin will devastate, and sin will destroy. And you know, the strange thing about it is we think that we can get by without it destroying us. But I'm telling you, it'll take you down. It'll take you down, and you've heard that little outline, sin will take you farther than you want to go, and sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. And God in His goodness has tried to, you know, let us know about the eternal consequences of dying in your sin. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, amen, by the grace of God, and I'm not going to hell no more. And I'm certainly thankful for that. And the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And again, you want to be careful what you sow. Be careful what you sow. Now take your Bibles and turn back to, let me just give you this little outline in Psalms 51, and then we're going to get to where we're going, okay? Everybody good? Yeah, amen. In Psalms 51, and you would know this is the story in the Scriptures where David had messed up with Bathsheba back in 2 Samuel and chapter 11. It says, "It came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem." I'm just reading 2 Samuel 11, 2 here. It says, "It came to pass in eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.'" And you know the story how that David sent and had her husband Uriah brought in, and tried to cover his tracks and get him to sleep with his wife, and he wouldn't do that, and then he sent him back out to the forefront of the hottest battle where valiant men were known to fight, and Uriah the Hittite was murdered. And David had him killed there. And I'm telling you, you know, David messed up royally. And David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. And I'm just saying that, you know, we're not exempt from sin. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But I'm telling you, sin lieth at the door. And sin is just right around the corner. And a lot of people think that, you know, they can just plant sin and it's not going to come up, but it doesn't. You're going to reap what you sow, and you're going to reap more than you sow, and you're going to reap later than you sow, and you're going to reap what you sow. And we just got to be very, very careful, okay? And God will not be mocked, the Bible says, and a man will reap the effects of sin in his life, and that's why we need revival. And I want to look at Psalms 51 very quickly here. So David's coming back to God now in Psalms 51, very familiar passage here. And David says, "Have mercy upon me," Psalms 51:1, "O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." And then he says in verse number 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Let me give this little outline. Number 1, sin will make you dirty. Sin will make you dirty. Sin will make you dirty. Say that with me. Sin will make you dirty, okay? Sin will make you dirty, all right? Number 2, He said in verse number 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." Number 2, sin will make you worry. Sin will make you worry. Say that with me. Sin will make you worry, okay? And his sin was ever before him. He couldn't get off his mind. He was worrying about it, thinking about it all the time. Now, number 3, sin dishonors the Lord. You understand that? When you sin, you're sinning against the Lord. Then it ought to bother you. It ought to bother you that you're hurting the Lord. Are you listening to me? Your sin is against God, okay? It says in verse number 4, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And I'm just saying, sin dishonors, it dishonors the Lord. Number 4, sin will depress your heart. Sin will depress your heart. Look at verse number 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness." You know what? When you start living in sin and dabbling in sin, you lose your joy. Amen. It'll depress your heart and you get down all the time because of the sin in your life. And wow, you know, revival is a time that we could get back to God and He could restore the joy of our salvation back to us again. Amen. And, well, don't you want to be happy? Man, I love having a good time, don't you? I do, man. I'll tell you, it's a blessing being a Christian and just serving the Lord. I love serving the Lord. I don't have to serve the Lord. I get to serve the Lord. Sin will disease the body. Look at the second part of verse number 8. Sin will depress your heart. Number 4. Number 5, sin will disease the body. It'll disease the body. It says that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Well, if you think you can just sin and it's not affecting your body, man, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm telling you, you know, God, He's not playing around with this stuff. He hates sin. And we need to understand that David's coming back to God and he's sorry for his sin that he committed with Bathsheba. Number 6, sin will defile your spirit. Look at verse number 9. It says, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Then he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew a right spirit within me. Sin will defile your spirit. Amen? It'll defile your spirit. You know, a lot of people, because of sin, bitterness and things like that, they're lashing out at people that have nothing to do with what's, you know, I mean, they got bitterness and stuff in their heart, inward sins, then they're lashing out and hurting other people, and you don't even know what you did that person. Why? They bite your head off. And a lot of times it's because they got junk inside their heart and their spirit's been defiled because of sin. And then the last one is, sin will destroy your testimony. It will destroy your testimony. Look at verse number 11. "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy. "And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Well, when you start coming back to God and get the sin out of your life, and you quit the sin business, I'm telling you, you get your song back, and you get your joy back, and you get that spirit, that right spirit back, and man, it's a blessing. "For thou," verse 16, "thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in, delightest not in burnt offering." Verse 17, "the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." So David wasn't sorry he got caught. He was really sorry for his sins, okay? He had a repentant heart. Now, how many of y'all are pretty familiar with Psalms 51? I mean, we're pretty familiar with that passage, right? I mean, we've heard that before. And I want to give you tonight a little different one that we're not quite as familiar with. And I want you to turn back just a few pages to Psalms 38, to the 38th Psalm. Okay, I just wanted to give these preachers something. They have a little outline to preach Sunday, amen. And we're all in different places and nobody's even going to know that you didn't, you know, that you had that little outline there. They're going to think the Lord gave that to you and I stole it from somebody. I don't remember who I got it from, amen. But anyway, what a blessing. All right, Psalms 38 is like Psalms 51, and it's written by David. And again, I think he's crying out to God in anguish over the effects of his sin, the effects of his sin. And again, the Lord called, the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. And And David, as a man, was greatly blessed by God. He had the blessing, knew the blessing of God and the favor of God during his life. And very few men have ever given themselves to God and loved God as much as David did. I mean, I would say, you know, if you were, you know, top five Bible characters, David would probably be on most of our list, you know. And he's a great man of God in the Bible, but David was not immune to the effects of sin, okay? He was not immune to the effects of sin. And I keep thinking, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I keep thinking, I don't know if it's me or the Lord, but I keep thinking about my cow patty story. Let me tell you this story and get it out of the way. Some of y'all have heard me tell it before, but I'm telling it tonight. My wife, Deanna, and I, I was going to be a dairy farmer, and many of y'all have seen my milking muscle. You guys sitting on the front row, y'all getting a close-up, man. Look at that. Let me give the kitty cat a little drink. You know? But I grew up milking cows. We sold milk to our church members. And we would put it in a glass jug and strain it, put a diaper over the top of it, a cloth diaper, and strain it. And then that cream would rise to the top, and I would sell gallon jugs to church members, fresh milk, and you just shake it up and just drink whole milk. It was good. Change your life. Amen. And I had some hens, and I was selling eggs to our church members. My dad was a pastor and grew up in a pastor's home. And anyway, my brother Bob bought me. He's 5 years older than me, Brother Bob is. And he bought me when I was, I think I was 14 years old. He bought me my first heifer calf, and her name was Jenny. And I raised Jenny on a bottle fed her, and she was a heifer calf, and she grew up. And we got her bred, and she had a little heifer calf. And so anyway, I started raising cows and calves and so forth, and I bought a set of heifers from my wife's uncle. His name is Uncle Jake Williams, and he's in heaven now for many years. And we named our son Jake after him. But anyway, he's a good man, a godly man, loved the Lord, and he was a blessing. But I bought like 7 or 8 heifers from him. Man, they really were slick. But they were Black Angus, and I was going to get rid of my Black Angus, kind of crossbred, but mostly Black Angus. And I was going to get rid of the beef cows and go completely dairy, okay? So I had these up in the lot. I had them up in a lot, and we didn't have a chute and all that. We just had a trailer, and my wife, I tell the story, but my wife was great with child. She was 8 months plus, okay? My wife grew up in the country. She knows how to cut up a chicken, and she's not a microwave mama, amen. She knows how to cut up a chicken and fry it up, and man, it's good, amen. It'll change your life. But I'm a chicken-eating Baptist. How many of y'all like chicken, amen? God bless you. I see those hands. I feel a kindred spirit tonight. I call it Baptist bird, amen. But anyway, we were out there going to load these heifers up and take them to the cow sale and get rid of them. And it was a cool, crisp fall morning. My wife's 8 months pregnant, you know, but she's not afraid of the cows or anything. She grew up in the country. So she's my helper. So she's holding the gate to the trailer. I'm going to ease these heifers around. We got them kind of hemmed up, and I'm going to ease them around and kind of let them just, the first one jumps up in the trailer, and then number 2, 3, 4, they just all jump up in there. If you just get the first one to jump up in there, it's like taking candy from a baby. Well, there's always one in every crowd, and I think she's the Independent Baptist heifer, but she decided that she was going to run, you know, to take off and run. And so I'm watching, trying to keep them not get stirred up, just keep them settled. And anyway, everything's going good. Cool, crisp fall morning. A little dew on the ground. I got my overalls on, my boots on. And this one heifer, she starts to kind of make a break for it. I can see her. So I start kind of trotting just a little bit. And I'm watching her, trying to head her off and keep her with the group. Because if you lose one, then you got to start over. And anyway, so I'm trying to keep them all together. My wife's great with child, 8 months plus. We would call her a springing heifer, okay? And she's not here, so y'all don't tell her. But anyway, you don't tell her. Amen. So, here's what happens. This heifer's running and trying to get out of the group, and I'm watching her, and I'm not watching where I'm going, and my foot hits a Texas-sized cow patty. Now, it was big, and it was fresh. Say, how do you know it was fresh? Because it was smoking. When a cow patty is fresh, and when it's smoking, that means it's very fresh, okay? That means it's hot off the press, okay? Still warm, in fact. And so my boot hit the cow patty, and my feet went up in the air, and my bottom landed slap dab in the middle of a Texas-sized cow patty that was smoking. Now, I'm not happy, fellas, you know. My wife's laughing. My wife's great with child. It's not funny where I'm sitting at, okay? And I've got cow manure oozing between my legs and my rear end. I mean, it's just like it's brutal. I mean, it's game over, you know. She's laughing. She's great with child. She, you know, I'm ready to kill her. Okay? And anyway, needless to say, the story is we didn't go to the cow cell that day. It was leaking through my undergarments. It's got ammonium nitrate in it. It'll burn your rear end. It was burning my rear end. And it was brutal. Well, anyway, I said all that to say this, that the next scene was my wife was driving the truck. I was sitting in the back of the truck. Okay? We drove from the cow pasture to Mansfield, Texas, where we lived at. And I was not going to be a happy camper until I got the stink washed off of me. Are y'all listening to me? Okay, I mean, that's just the way it was. It was rough, okay? Now, so we come to the revival, okay, and we're in the world, but we're, you know, by osmosis, we get the stink of the world on us. We don't mean for it to happen, but then, you know, God's up here, and He's processing all of our lives, and He's omniscient, He knows everything, and He's like, what's that smell? Man, you boys stink. Oh, is it him? Yeah. That's what Eve said. Yeah. Yeah, we're all good at that, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah, it's him. He needed that. Yeah, no. Hey, listen, the Lord knows. You know, I just want my life to smell like a sweet smelling savor. I don't want the Lord to be saying, man, you stink, boy. You got the world on you. So what we do, we take the water, the washing of the water of the Word of God. We just turn the hose on. And you know, I just squirt over here a while and, you know, and then just kind of make my way back across and, you know, and got preacher's pride yesterday. Just kind of held it on him for a little bit and washed some of that pride out of there. He's like, man, why are you coming in preaching on my sin first rattle out of the box? You know, give me a break, you know. No, hey, we're preachers, man. We need it too, don't we? Yeah. And so in Psalms 38, we find David kind of giving us the effects of sin. But I want to say this to you tonight. Please listen to me. His sin was not just the sin. Everybody listen now. His sin was not just the sin of the terrible act of adultery that he committed with Bathsheba. Are y'all listening to me? It wasn't just that one sin. That was wicked. That was ungodly. But he coveted his neighbor's wife. He stole his neighbor's wife. That's stealing. He committed adultery. He committed murder. Was that not murder? Having her husband brought in, then sent back out to the front lines where you knew he was going to get killed? Yeah, he had him murdered, didn't he? Sure did. He lied about his sin. He lied about it. He dishonored his parents. And he dishonored God. And he gave great occasion for the enemies of God to blaspheme the Lord. But I'm telling you, listen, you're the only Bible that some people are going to ever read. And people are watching us, and we're the salt of the earth. We're, you know, if we lose our savor and we cuss just like everybody else and we smell just like everybody else and we stink like the world, that's a bunch of junk, man. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, we're the light of the world. If we stick our light under a bushel and we're not letting our light so shine, amen. Hey, listen, we're supposed to make people thirsty for what we have. And we're going to have to get honest with God. And again, David placed his own selfish lust ahead of God. And we've got to be really careful. And his sin didn't just affect him. Now, please listen to me. His sin didn't just affect him. His sin affected his family. Remember, you reap more than you sow, and you reap later than you sow. And it didn't happen overnight, but David's illegitimate baby with Bathsheba died. You remember that? A little baby died. And David was praying and all that, you know, and fasting and everything. And then everybody got quiet and David sensed that the baby had died. You remember that? His son Amnon raped his sister Tamar. Oh, man. His son Absalom killed his son Amnon. His son Absalom led a conspiracy, an insurrection, an overthrow of his father David's kingdom. His son Absalom was killed by Joab. Remember, we got caught in the oak tree by his hair, through those three darts and all of that. And David, the king, was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. As he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. The victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard. Everybody heard about King David. Heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. Please listen to me. Sin overcame him and his guilt was heavy and the pressure was unbearable and he's broken now and he's crying and he can't eat and he can't sleep and his chickens have come home to roost. And I'm just saying, hey, you better be careful what you're doing because sin lieth at the door. You don't hear much preaching on sin anymore, do we? Yeah, no, I'm telling you, we need it. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Achan said this in Joshua 7:20. He said, I have sinned. Saul said it in 1 Samuel 15:24. I have sinned. Amen. The Amalekites, he didn't utterly destroy Amalek, did he? No, what meaneth the bleeding of these sheep? Bah. No, he left them alive, didn't he? He kept the best of the best for himself. He was wrong. Like Judas in Matthew 27:4, I have sinned. Like the prodigal son in Luke 15:18, he said, I have sinned. Like Pharaoh in Exodus 9:27, he said, I have sinned. Like David in Psalms 51:4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil. Hey, we're all guilty, amen? We're all guilty. I'm not trying to stand here and act like I'm, you know, listen, I got issues. I like those songs, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. If you see any good in me, it's because of Him. Amen. It's because of Him. It's the grace of God tonight that we're in the church house and not spaced out on drugs somewhere. We need a revival of repentance. If we're not careful, we get to get this kind of, you know, like I'm okay, and when we're not okay. Look in Psalms 38 now. David starts out kind of explaining what sin had done to him. And what God did when He sinned. Look at Psalms 38 now. Just kind of think of this as kind of a parallel passage to Psalms 51. Look at your Bible now. Psalms 38, 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. Whoa. You want your dad to be calm when he whips you, or you want him to be mad? I'd like my dad to kind of take a little time to calm him down a little bit, you know, before he beat the devil out of me. Look, he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. So David recognized that the first effect of sin on a man was that God would rebuke that man. And hey, listen to me. You know, I might rebuke, you know, that might be like a verbal warning, you know what I'm saying? And before, you know, but your dad says, hey, don't do that. That might be he's rebuking you. He's trying to get on to you, you know. Why? So he doesn't have to chasten you. Okay? I mean, if my dad got on to me, it was better for me to make the adjustment then before my dad said, go to the bedroom. Because when he said go to the bedroom, it was game over. I was fixing to get my buns toasted. And he liked them well done. Burnt. Yeah, yeah. The only thing, you know, my dad said my grandma invented hot pants a long time before they ever hit the market. Yeah, my dad, you know, the nut doesn't fall far from the tree, and man, he would wear us out. He whipped us with a razor strap. Whew. That's like a thick piece of leather that the razor, the barber would sharpen his razor with. Man, those things are like yay thick, and boy, they hurt. We burned it. The only thing that was left in our trash pile was the handle on that little thing. Well, don't tell my dad that either. He's 80 years old right now. He's with me. Wow. Rebuke me in thy... Listen, God has boundaries because He loves us, okay? And we need to stay within those boundaries, okay? And they're there for our protection, okay? And God's given us His Word, and it's for our good, okay? And what a blessing. But David found out that God chastens us when we sin. Okay, He chastens and scourges, the Bible says, every son whom He receives, every son. We've all been chastened by the Lord. If you're truly God's child, God will take you to the woodshed. He'll tan your hide. Hey, listen, parents, I'm old school, man. I believe we ought to chasten our sons while there's hope. Chasten your son while there be times, that means at the right times. Make the punishment fit the crimes, what my dad used to say. Yeah. There's degrees of punishment. Sure there is. But I'll tell you, David's just giving us here straight up what God does when we sin. He rebukes us and He chastens us. What sin does to us, look at verse number 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Wow. David says that sin causes guilt and no rest and he's just restless all the time. And again, our society has all these things to overcome the sin of guilt. And you got liquor and, alcohol and drugs and prescription drugs and television advertises all this stuff to cure guilt and worry and anxiety and depression and all this stuff. No. You can't, that's a worldly band-aid, man. The world can't fix our problems. We gotta go to the Word of God. And I thank God for the Bible, and David just giving us some instructions here, and I can't blame my problems on you or on my mama or anyone else. My heart is condemning me because of my sins, and I need to assume responsibility for my sin. And sin causes us again to be restless. Instead of dealing with sin, we try to change everything but our heart. You got a problem tonight? Hey, you got a problem in your heart. Your heart. And if I got a problem tonight, listen, hey, we can run from job to job and city to city and spouse to spouse and church to church and all that, thinking that if we just change the right thing, we're going to have peace. It doesn't work that way. Y'all listen to me. People don't get right with God. They just change churches. It's a bunch of junk. That's a bunch of junk, man. Hey, wherever you go, your problem's going to follow you right down the road there, okay? Might as well just get it right with God. And we never seem to come to the understanding that there's no peace with sin. And it just doesn't work that way. No matter where you go, there you are. Amen? Just how it is. Look at verse number 4. The problem is we've got a sinful heart. Verse number 4 says, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." And David just tells us that sin brings discouragement. I preach in jail every Tuesday night, and we have some guys that go there, and we have services every Tuesday night, 52 weeks a year. And I love the jail, and on our 23rd anniversary here a few weeks ago, the sheriff came to our church, and his name's Mike Magoo, and he's behind what we're doing, and he came up on the platform, and he said this. He said, "I appreciate your church coming out to our jail, because you give people hope. You give people hope." And I'm telling you, you start dabbling in sin, and you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to lose hope. And I'll tell you, there's hope tonight, amen. That's why we're having revival. Is everybody listening to me? Hey, there's hope tonight. We can get our carcasses down here to an old-fashioned altar, amen, and we can get our hearts right with God. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know I'm preaching to the cream of the crop. But hey, we've got to detest sin. Man, I want these boys up here. Boys, I want y'all to grow up and hate sin. I want you to stay away from sin. I mean, I'm telling you, I want you to have the best testimony possible, and that's to stay away from sin. To never drink, to never smoke, to never cuss, to never do all those bad things. You don't have to do all that stuff. You can live for Jesus your whole life. And that's the best testimony, isn't it? Sure it is. Sure it is. Wow. People do all kinds of things to try to escape the judgment of sin. I see it all the time in the jail. Satan's lied to them and deceived them into believing that nothing can help them. But I'm telling you, God can. Look at verse number 5. "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." I'm telling you, sin brings pain and sickness. Brings pain and sickness. "My wounds stink." And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things going on in the world today. A lot of trauma and complications of life that are just caused by the sickness and pain of just living in sin. Living in sin. It don't get no better either. The way of the transgressor is hard, isn't it? It sure is. It's hard to kick against the priest. It's hard to go against God all the time. It don't work that way. And I'll tell you, I want to find out which way God is going. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. Look at verse number 6. "I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." I go mourning all the day long. David entered into a deep depression, and as a result of his sin. And again, he just all the day long, just thinking about it, thinking about his sin, and he's troubled by it. And you be sure your sin will find you out. Look at verse number 7. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there is no soundness in my flesh. And sin not only brings sickness, but it brings disease. You think about the AIDS virus and all that, I think it's nothing more than the judgment of God on perversion. On wicked perversion, amen. And Africa is overrun with AIDS, and even in the United States, there's all kinds of, you know, cases and stuff, and like 50,000 new cases each year in America. And it's sad, isn't it? You ever seen somebody die with the AIDS virus? I'm telling you, it's worse than cancer. My aunt was a nurse for 30 years, and she was telling me the difference in seeing. I've seen some people suffer with cancer. Cancer's bad. How many of y'all seen somebody with cancer? You know, I mean, it's bad, isn't it? It's very bad. And to think that AIDS, dying of AIDS, is worse than cancer, I mean, that's saying something for a nurse, been ICU nurse for 20 years, you know, and a nurse for 35 years. I mean, I have a lot of respect for my aunt, and she wasn't just saying that. I mean, I knew she had seen it, and I thought, wow, that's unbelievable. Look at verse number 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Sin brings weakness, and sin brings sorrow. Look at verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Wow. Sin brings a loss of desire and a loss of focus, and sin separates you from those that you're closest to. I see it all the time in the jail ministry, you know, where they call it tough love, where everybody just kind of backs away and just kind of lets that person just sit in jail and just kind of, you know, just settle in a while, you know. And that's fine, you know. And sin will leave you broken and destroyed, and family and friends and all that. That just, you know why? It's just the result of sin. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, is what James said. And death just means like separation, you know, being separated and so forth. Well, look at verse number 12. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me. And they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. Wow. It just keeps getting worse and worse about your enemies and how they respond to you when they, you know, boy, you think they're going to cover for you? People that hate you, no, they're not going to do that. Boy, they're going to go after you, aren't they? When you start messing up, yeah, they're going to go after you. They're going to show no mercy and they're going to delight in your misery. It's pitiful. Look at verse 13 and 14. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. And just sin leaves you with no answers. It makes you stupid. It just causes you to sit there dumbfounded, okay? And we cannot explain away our sin. Now, I want you to look at verse 15 through 17. What's the answer? Here's the answer. Everybody okay? Look at verse number 15. It says, he changes gears here now. He says, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. Look at this now, verse 17. For I am ready to halt. And my sorrow is continually before me. Wow, David's crying out to God and the consequences of his sin. And he's just going to God now, okay? And, you know, he's going along and he just stops, okay? And Bible repentance is, you know, I mean, you just kind of, and you turn and you start going back to God. It's an about face. And I'm just thinking, wow, that's the answer, okay? And David makes a decision to stop his sinning, to quit the sin business. I am ready to halt, and my sorrows continue before me, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Amen? I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that David was kind of, I can't hardly handle it, fellas. I love my wife, and I showed you the picture of our family, and I carried in my Bible, and you know, we got 4 kids and 10 grandkids, and I carry that picture with me, and I can't hardly stand it when me and my wife get in a fight. You say, y'all fight? Oh, yeah. Y'all kiss and make up? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, last thing she said to me before I left was, get out from under that bed and fight like a man. Yeah. No. No, but I just, you know, when I'm not right with my wife, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When I'm crossways with my wife, I know I'm not right this way. And it bothers me because I'm a pastor and I'm leading a lot of people and I got friends and family and everybody's looking at me and I want to love my wife, okay? I want to love her like Christ loved the church and Christ gave his life for the church. Christ loved the church. And I want to love my wife like that and I'm supposed to love my wife like that. And when I'm not doing that, it bothers me. It bothers me in my heart and I can't stand to not be right with her because it just messes with me on the inside. Well, that's what David has happened to David. I think David loved God and David had been close to God and David, that fellowship and that joy and all the things, the consequences of sin had overwhelmed him. And now with a broken and a contrite heart, he comes back to God, not sorry that he got caught, but really sorry for his sin and ready to quit his sin. And the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's those little things that we think, well, I'm not as bad as... No, listen, hey, those little foxes, I'm telling you, they'll destroy your life. There's no such thing as little sins. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. Amen? If it's wrong, quit it. If it's wrong, quit it. Hey, I had one guy one time was trying to tell me that his wife gave him permission to look at pornography. I said, brother, it don't work that way. Your wife can't give you permission to sin. That's wrong, you know. And I'm just saying, wow, no man can give you permission to sin. If you're sinning, you need to quit that. You need to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. Barney Fife said, nip it, nip it, nip it. Amen? Yeah, amen. That's what I'm talking about. Look at verse number 19. But mine enemies are lively, and they are strong. And they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that is good. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Let me just read you a little bit now. I'm done, but I want to read you a little bit, okay? Are y'all okay? I know some of you got busy today, and I'm just sure there's some of you that have not read your Bible yet. I'll just look at you and tell. There's bound to be a few of you right here tonight. And I just want to read a little bit of Scripture to you, okay? My little granddaughter crawled up in my lap the other day. Emily, she's 6 now, and I was listening to Alexander Scorby read the Bible to me, and she said, Papa, he talks funny. Got that accent. I said, yeah. She said, can I read the Bible to you, Papa? And I said, oh, yeah. So, man, we muted old Alexander, and she crawled up my lap, and Emily started reading the Bible to me. Man, you're talking about a blessing. She's just learning how to enunciate words, and I thought, man, this is good. And we read one chapter, and she said, Papa, can I read another chapter? And I said, oh, yeah, that's great, Emily. Isn't that a blessing? So I'm just going to, Papa's going to read you a couple chapters. Psalms 39 says, think about what we just read. I said, I will take heed to my ways. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. What is it that I may know how frail I am? Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Look at chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, sometimes God will kind of put you, after you get right with Him, He'll kind of prove you for a little while to see if you mean business. Are y'all with me? Kind of a little testing time to see if you really, if you're really serious about quitting the sin business before He gives you your joy back. Are you listening to me? Now look at verse, I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Look at this now. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and it put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I preach righteousness in the great congregation, though I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Wow. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, more iniquities, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Wow. I'm glad that we serve the God of the second chance. And I'm glad tonight that God is merciful. And I'm glad that He remembers our frame, that we're dust. And I'm glad that we have old-fashioned altars, that we as God's children can get on our faces and cry out to God. Amen. And pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. Hey, what a blessing, man, just to be clean and to be right in the sight of God. Amen. And it's the washing of the water of the Word of God. But I'm telling you, sin is bad. Amen. And I don't, young people, boys and girls, please listen to me. Don't ever, ever get in all this stuff that's going on down here, okay? There's a lot of sin out there, okay? I'm telling you, you're going to have opportunity in your life to sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. Say no to it, okay? You say no to sin. Say no to sin. Girls, say no to boys that want to mess with you. You say no to that. You got my permission to slap the snot out of them. Amen? You tell your dad, you tell a trusted adult if somebody's trying to mess with you and all that stuff. I'm telling you, there's so much perversion and wickedness in the world. Listen, adults and grandparents and parents, we need to be praying for our kids. There's all kinds of pressures and wickedness out here in the world. And our little kids are precious. These little boys and girls around here, they're precious. I love them, and I know y'all love them. And I'm telling you, what a blessing, man, just to be able to point them in the right direction and to teach them the Word of God. And boys and girls, you stay in the Bible. And man, thank God you have a mom and dad and a church and all these things that God has provided, okay? And I'm just saying, wow, I just want to get on my face and say, God, I'm so sorry. I want to be clean. I want to be right, Lord. I want to be right. I want to be right. I don't want to be messing, you know, the thoughts and all these things. And there's so much junk, isn't there? Fellas, listen to me. Susie Q, At work, if she blinks her eyes at you, you say no, man. You just do like Joseph did. That's a heifer, amen. That's a wicked heifer.
Yeah.
You say no to that heifer, amen. I'm telling you, they're out there. The adulterer will hunt for the precious life. The whore is a deep ditch. You can see her, but I'm telling you, the adulterer will go after good men and godly men that have families and all that, and they don't care. I'm just telling you, that's just how the devil works, man. That's just how, I mean, there's preachers in jail, and there's all kinds of situations. I'm telling you. I see it every week of my life, and I love them and all that, but you know, it's sad. It's sad, and it can all be lost, okay? And I'm just saying, I'd rather stay humble before the Lord and stay on my face, and you know what I'm saying? I mean, just like David, I want joy. And I want to do what's right, okay? I really do. I don't want to live my life in sin, sneaking around and doing stuff, okay? When I travel a lot, okay, and when I go like to the motel, I never turn the TV on. I never do. I haven't done that for years and years and years. I just don't do that. It's just me and the Lord. You know, if I have some boys with me or something like that, or my son, we might watch some sports sometimes, but when I'm by myself, I never, it's just me and God. Me just pray and read my Bible, just try to get full of God so I can come and be a blessing. Amen. I just want to be clean. I want to be right. And I just think about the cow patty story. You know, that's what revival's about. It's about getting all the stink off of us.
Yeah.
And that's what these altars are for. If you're here tonight and you're lost, listen, we want you to come and be saved tonight. I don't know everybody and all that, but if you're here and you're visiting with us tonight, or even if you're a member or whoever, if you're lost and you've never been saved the Bible way, listen, you need to come tonight and get that thing settled, okay? I don't want you to die and go to hell. I don't. We don't want you to die and go to hell. We don't. We love you, okay? Let's bow our heads tonight.